U.S. home prices posting another big gain in January, pushed higher again by a shortage of homes for sale.
Standard & Poor's says its S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller National Home Index climbed 6.2% in January from a year earlier. That nearly matches December's 6.3% gain, which had been the fastest 12-month growth seen in 3 years. The reason? Homes for sale are scarce, and the price of houses is easily outpacing wage growth and inflation. Some of the highest annual gains in home prices were in Seattle, where prices rose 12.9%, in Las Vegas, where they jumped just over 11%, and 10.2% in San Francisco. Scott Carr, Washington.
And on a personal note, I'm so glad I didn't take that job in Seattle. What a bunch of leftist nuts with very expensive homes.
And only about 3 months of sunshine.
Though I once had a wonderful weekend in Pensacola. So glad that package was nothing.
It lasted all of a half hour.
On a personal note.
Well, here's a personal note for you, Brother Michael, happening in your neighborhood soon.
That's just a bean dreamer. My bigger line dreamer.
The Pilgrimage 2018 lineup is out, and Nashville rocker Jack White is going to headline along with Chris Stapleton and Lionel Richie.
Wow.
What do you think about that?
I think I'll stay home.
I'd love to see Jack White. I understand he held a couple of impromptu concerts over at his Third Man Records shop a couple of weeks ago.
I have no idea who Jack White is. You'll have to film. I mean, I'm serious. I'm a pretty hip guy.
Yeah. He's a...
It's a blind spot for me. I don't do heavy metal.
Remember the White Stripes?
Not a clue.
And he's done...
Which way were they going? As long as they went in a slenderizing direction, I might have been a fan. Well, no, I mean, I know everybody pop. I mean, I listen... With my kids to hit
You'll know song. This. You'll know this. Well, it's going to play. Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
No, you've heard this. This was huge back 15 years ago.
This is like slap. Never heard this in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be.
It's a huge... Huge song.
I'll tell you this. He's no Demi Lovato. I don't know. I don't know any of that. What's the concert? It's like a Bonnaroo kind of thing?
It's the Pilgrimage Music Festival every year. Well, this is the fourth annual there in Franklin.
Don't you live in Franklin?
Yeah, I do. I don't do everything they do.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Although I did hit a new low when we were bored one night and we actually did the ghost tour. I thought that
Ooh,
was like
how
a,
was that?
It was interesting.
Yeah?
You know, I mean, it just goes to show you all what happened in that area.
Did they feed you?
Some of the stories were fascinating. The ghosts themselves? No.
No.
You want to try some soup? You know, that would have been a nice touch. I enjoyed the history part of it, not so much the supernatural part of it.
Yeah.
And then I like that the locals are very aware of what it is, because the lady warns you before you start that you'll get heckled. And sure enough, people do drive by and heckle. And they like, this is the most common. They'll drive by and they'll go, boo, while you're on your little tour. To me, the most fun was to feel like I was on vacation in my hometown.
And you were.
But, I mean, some serious crap happened around our little pizza parlor there. Mellow Mushroom. I mean, you know, that's a...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a very historic area that we're all just, you know, sitting having a slice of pie in.
Right, right.
But, I don't do everything. But where, so is that like on a farm or something in Franklin?
I'm not sure exactly where that is.
Well, you just can't do everything is what I say.
No, there's a lot to do in Middle Tennessee, Brother Michael, and that is for sure.
I'm with Pamela Furr. Whoever that guy is, he's no Michelle Pillar. That's all I'll say.
Well,
by the way, at 9:06, and a personal note, this news is brought to you by...
VacationExpress.com.
Information-fueled, opinion-driven, this is the Michael Del Giorno Show, Super Talk 99.7.
You know, I always said I would never stay on the air so long that I would become irrelevant. And I don't think that's what happened. But how is it I've never heard of that guy that you guys know so much about?
You probably have, Brother Michael. You just don't recall. I know you've heard some of the music.
If he had never heard Seven Nation Army, he's never heard of
him. I never heard of him. I never even heard that song. You said, well, I know you've heard this. Yeah. Well, I was ready for something like, oh, that. Like it's some kind of...
He wouldn't be something that you would hear on mainstream radio.
I just want to know what you guys are doing listening to that kind of music.
It's good music.
And I thought this would be a good time to maybe stop and ask you if you both accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
If you're worried about that music, that's what concerns you, boy, you don't really want to hear what we actually listen to.
No, I'm not prudish that way. I'm shocked. I have probably one of the most open palates for music.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
you do.
New Orleans jazz, big band. I mean, going back to Count Basie and mm-hmm. Miller and I can't say I love, Garth was kind of an exception for me, Garth Brooks, in terms of country. I loved, probably out of everybody that would, I don't even know if he falls under country, but Lyle Lovett, I'm a huge fan of.
He's real good.
Both just his country with guitar or with his large band. I mean, I thought that was magical stuff.
See, but Lyle Lovett is almost a country version of Jack White in a lot of ways.
Yeah, because when you said Jack White, the first person I thought, is it Jack Black that's the actor?
That's the actor.
He's a musician as well.
But isn't it amazing in my brain, the opposite of black is white, and I was thinking, I was literally trying to hear Jack Black singing that, and I figured, wait a minute, this isn't Jack Black. I think you could play me a medley of this guy's hit, and I wouldn't know any of them.
Oh, yeah. Here it is.
Guy's really into bass.
Lazaretto.
Clueless.
My veins are blue and connected, and every single bone in my brain is electric. But I dig bitches like the best of them. Your tribe of Hodoro. Come on, my daughter, yes, sir.
I bet you 21 Pilots knows this guy, though.
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that sounds very, like, when I hear that, 21 Pilots seems heavily influenced. And I love 21 Pilots.
He's a great musician, by the way. I mean, just or even if you don't enjoy.
Is he from here? Am I really blaspheming myself?
He's from Michigan, I think, originally. But he's kind of made this his home, and he's got a record store, Third Man Records, right around the corner from here.
He's got one in Detroit, too.
Yeah. And it's a record label as well.
But he was a Bob Seger and Ted Nugent fan growing up.
May have been,
yeah.
Well, a lot of that sounds like very early Nugent, to be honest with you.
He's jammed with Jimmy Page. Who else was it that he did an entire series with Jimmy Page?
I don't get stumped very often. I just don't know how this guy ended up under my radar, not under my radar at any point in my life.
He's got several bands. He's formed the White Stripes, the Raken Tours, Dead Weather.
Never heard of any of them.
Oh boy, check them out sometime. They're really good. I love his
music. I just don't have time or room in my brain for anyone else. I've come to that conclusion. I really have.
Well, you made room for the Southern Preacher.
Well, we did add him. You know, I was, I don't know why this has been on my mind all week. I think it has to do with reading Michelle Pillar's book.
And just
one of the many applications that came from it.
Well, she is really nice.
Oh, she's the book.
She is such a nice person.
I mean, I can't tell you how much junk I read. And I mean, from page one to the final page. The very few books have done this to me where, you know, it's kind of like Dexter. I'll see you guys when I'm done. To where Nick would come up like are you almost done? And then the girls come in like they're in awe. You read the whole book in 2 days? You know, like that's some kind of like an amazing academic feat.
Right.
It's like, yeah, we need to get you some books you're interested in. But one of my takeaways, and there are many, for people who have had very, very, very deep hurts, very, very dysfunctional. I mean, don't forget, at the root of that glorious song, I Can Only Imagine, that is now a movie to boot, is a very abusive, horrific, painful childhood. And you don't get the song without that pain. It was interesting. We were doing a Bible study one time, and of all people, we had in our original Bible study that we had started, we had one girl that just came from an and it happened to be our headmaster's home. She was the headmaster's daughter of our private school. But it was as dysfunctional as you can get, with a mother and a father, both extreme alcoholics and verbally abusive and chaotic. I thought, you know, in any room, I felt pretty confident growing up that in any room I walked into, nobody was going to have a more horrific childhood story than me. You know, you ever feel like, and mine is, you could make a movie of mine. I don't know what it'd be rated, but you could make a movie of mine. And this girl managed to top it. And so, but it's out of those deep, 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 deep hurts come these really, 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 really profound experiences with God. He is near to the brokenhearted. He is near to those who have nobody on earth to protect them.
Amen.
And if he can't get near you through others, he'll get supernatural. That's what I mean. You start getting images and visions of God, that's because you ain't got nobody worth a snot around you. That's your first clue. Get some new family. Get some new friends. When Jesus himself has to appear in a room, that means you got nobody he can work through. But one day we were in this Bible study, and Patty would, you know, because we could all only grow so much, right? Because we had things that were holding us back or things to grow through, and it would slow some of us down. Now, guys that had really good upbringings, I mean, they could just fly through the word, fly through discipleship, fly right on, you know, to doing great things. Some of us had a lot of stuff we had to work through. And so Patty was one of those. And I never got, impatient with her. And I'll never forget, because I loved that when we would go through these really thick, thick walls, what would come out of her mouth after. And so we'd just gone through this really, and you know, there's two ways to look at it. From an earthly standpoint, a really dumb phase she went through that was certainly beneath even her maturity in Christ at that time. You know, that old, I got to make that mistake again? Yeah, you did. And here's why. And so, I don't know, we were just sitting there and I said, and I kept, and this is at a point where I wasn't, you know, I asked more questions as a way of getting people to say it for themselves. Radio's kind of ruined me in that because we got to make our points, right? If you turn on the radio and I don't know what I'm talking about or I'm trying to play a slow game when you guys got 4 minutes, 5 minutes. So after 20-something years of this, you tend to make points differently on the radio than you ever would in real life. And so I knew the answer when I asked her. I said, well, Patty, what do you think the ultimate lesson here is? And I mean, boom. I might as well have been a skeleton, you know, that the Shekinah glory of God just went right through all flesh, just left me a burnt skeleton. She looked at me and she said, I think the lesson is we can only make God known as we know him, but really, we can't glorify God. He can't glorify himself through us till we stop trying to glorify ourselves through him. And I was just like, wait a minute, what? Because we were talking about we can only make God known as we know him. And she goes, I think it means that God can't glorify himself through us until we stop trying to glorify ourselves through him. How much is, I mean, literally, in her little dysfunctional 17-year-old mind, and now I'm 53. How much did she nail Christianity today? You know, that could actually be one of those litmus tests we use for everything we see in here. Is God glorifying himself through this guy? Or is this guy trying to glorify himself through God? Can you imagine how many people could pass and fail that moment by moment by moment? And I think that's what this book blew me away. I think that Michelle Pillar is just dead to self enough, just I don't care about me or my reputation enough to tell you everything that happened boldly, without any varnish, without any cover-up, without any saving face. And so what happens is from page one to the final page, God is just glorified story after story after story. And if she had stepped up to protect herself, her reputation, or what you think of her in any way, all she would have done is from start to finish written a book that glorified her by using God. And I think it's going to force a lot of people to the brink of real life breakthrough, because maybe for the first time you're going to be honest with yourself, let alone please rip the mask off, burn it in your fireplace, don't ever let it get back in your drawer or on your head again, and live the rest of your life that way. Because that's what a dying world and that's what a struggling Christendom needs more than anything. honest believers. Honest believers who are all struggling with sinful nature, all struggling with stupid mistakes, big mistakes, same mistakes over and over again. It's about a perfect God and not a perfect body. It's about a very imperfect body and a very perfect God, perfect loving, never giving up, merciful God, who's always accepting us just the way we are and loving us too much to leave us there. But you got to start being honest with yourself and others, and then watch him be God. If God isn't doing things in your life that are as real as everything else going on in your life, it's not his problem, it's yours. So I have three copies of this book, Untangled by Michelle Pillar, who, by the way, is doing, that would be not this weekend, but the following, April 6th or 7th.
Yep. Next
She's doing her women's conference. That'd be next weekend, right?
Yep.
Yeah, because this weekend's Good Friday and Easter. At the Thompson Station Church, which is kind of like bringing to stage this entire book. And I encourage every woman listening, maybe you weren't listening last week when Michelle was in studio, and maybe it's best you weren't. Whenever Victoria and I get together, it's very difficult to be serious. But that is a conference I recommend everyone going to. She goes all over the country doing this, and here it is right in, you know, I don't know who White Stripe guy is, but I know Michelle Pillar. And, you know, I know there are women listening to me right now, and you've got the very same scars, the very same strongholds that have been holding you back all your life. Are you ever ready to let go? Are you ever ready to be truly free? Because I don't know who's failed you trying to glorify themselves with God, but here's a humble woman that gets it. You can't glorify your God until you stop trying to glorify yourself through him. And I think you'll find your breakthrough, and I think this book will help. So I have three copies of this book, and I mean, I don't want to waste it on anybody. I mean, anybody can go to Amazon and buy your own. I think they're $9 or whatever. But I have three copies of this book that I would like to leave at the front desk for you. Just make sure you're one of these people that meet one of these. Prayed about this. I don't know how to give these away. You know, I literally had the thought, Brother Ken, and I thought, I'm not going to make people go through hoops. But, you know, we're doing our thing tonight, which I still don't know what we're doing.
Well,
somebody took down the copy now, because I always mess up where we're at.
You're going to be at Wings and Rings in...
Wings and Rings in Cool Springs.
Cool Springs.
Tonight, beginning at 6, I think.
Yes.
It's the entire air staff. You know, maybe I should just bring the three books with me there. And if you're somebody that has been really wounded, deeply hurt, and for all of your life, you've never been able to be free, I think this book could help you begin your journey to be untangled.
I think that's a good idea.
Maybe I should do it that way, make them literally come? Because yeah. You'd have to really want to be free to drive all the way there to Cool Springs. And then just whoever the first three people are that walk up to me, I'll hand it to you.
Sure.
Should we do it that way or have them call in while it's fair?
What if somebody can't make it there, but they really do need this book?
That's what I mean. That's what I struggled with.
Good grief. Now we've
listen,
got to
all of you can be free by just buying it. You know what?
Well, that's right.
Not that Michelle needs the money. Thank God she has a successful husband. I was reading one chapter about her horse, Ralph.
She had a horse named Ralph.
Let me tell you something. Beyond the eternal profoundness of this book, and I would put it right up there with Wilkerson's Experiencing God, she's the most amazing storyteller. I don't know how anybody, I'm going to get a copy of it to Bart, because the whole time I was reading this, it was a movie. I could see the scenes. But she had the story of this stubborn horse that just would not break. And as I'm reading, I'm thinking, I'm getting so excited. Oh, I can't wait to meet Ralph when I get to the barn. I can't wait to meet Ralph when I get to the barn. I want to see. Because this horse is like me in real life. You know, impossible to train. Of course, by the end of the chapter, I realize I'm not going to meet Ralph. But every chapter and the way she tells stories. All right, what do you want to do? Either way, they're going to have to drive here to get it.
Oh,
all right,
yeah.
First, caller 7 or caller 1, 2, and 3 who really would like a copy of this book. And I'll throw in a CD of her music as well. God will change your life, and this book will usher you into his presence in a way that can change it. It took me 20 minutes to spit out. I want to give away 3 books.
And God will make sure who needs it gets it.
Make sure you guys are really hurting. I mean, we don't want to use a very sophisticated surgery for a hangnail. I want people with really deep wounds. And if you're not one of the 3 that win, for goodness sakes, go on Amazon. I think it's $9 and buy it. How many years you've been on the air with me? I never tell people to buy a book. This is one book that should be in everybody's library.
I think this is the first time in 3 years.
Yeah, literally ever. I can't remember the last time I read a book that meant this much to me. So, I want to give that away. What else do we have to do? Promote the thing tonight, which I still don't know what we're doing. Well, it's a vote. It's a vote thing.
Yes. Yeah. It's.
But really what we want you to do is just meet
cast
our new.
A vote.
What is it? Vote the vote or validate the vote or vomit the vote. I don't know. It's got a name I can't say.
Oh, I'm looking it up right now. Come here. Oh, it's Voice Your Vote.
Voice Your Vote.
Now, yeah, nobody's the Voice Your Vote Tour.
Are we supposed to be encouraging people to vote? I think we do that every day.
Yeah.
I hope. Mm-hmm. That's citizenry. That's self-governance.
Yeah, it says that.
I think what nobody wants to say out loud is we're just parading around our new morning guy. Now, let me give you a couple of quick tips. If you come to Wings and Rings in Cool Springs tonight, you're going to be very shocked at how large he is.
He's a big boy.
When I tell you Brian is the size of the abominable snowman, I'm not joking. It's a very, very large man, which goes back to the first week he was on the air where I apparently offended him. I wanted, as a stunt, to climb him and spend the night on his shoulders. You know, kind of like disc jockeys used to go up on billboards. Literally with a harness, climb him and see what the temperature is at the altitude of the top of his head. Now, the important thing to have a little couth in class, you're going to be shocked at how big he is. I want you to picture someone the size as the Batman building.
Bill Lane Beer.
He does look like Lambeer.
He's big.
He looks like Lambeer. Yeah. That's funny you would say that. Don't walk up to him and say, wow, you're big. Because that's what everybody was saying when we were downstairs taking him. Wow, you're big.
You're a big old boy.
You're big. Which, you know. Coming in from the guy who wanted to climb him, I can tell you that he gets a little sensitive to that.
Yes, he does.
And by the same token, don't walk up to me and go, man, you're short. Because that doesn't make me feel very good either. But I know I am.
You're actually not short. You're average height, Brother Michael.
5'9 is not average.
Is
it?
5'9 is average.
But I have very large hands.
Try 5'6". Okay.
Is that all you are?
Yes, I'm 5'6". I've been shrinking. Every year I go get my physical, I've shrunk another half inch.
You know, you're at that height where I think you'll save on your casket. No, it's true. I think there's so you get to below a certain level and we could
squeeze. I get a discount.
I think we could, you know, cross your legs and fit you in a kid's casket. Save a little. That's good news. Anyway, we're at Wings and Rings. I don't know why, but Phil Valentine will be there. I'll be there. Maybe it's just the Jabez moment if we get to meet. I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, you guys are going to get to press the flesh.
Nor do I know why you should come. But I have to go, so you should come. Just come up and hug me if we've never met.
Yeah.
That'll make it worth it. Otherwise, I haven't got the vaguest idea why I'm there. I know that's a terrible promo, but it's true. I don't know what we're doing. I don't think we're actually registering people to vote. I don't think we need to go to Wings and Rings to tell you it's important you vote. I think we're there to show you how big our morning man is, and he's big.
Sounds like it's going to be food, fun, and fellowship.
Sounds like everybody will be there but you, as usual.
Well, I'll be in my soft clothes preparing for bedtime.
All right, guys, the books are gone. They've been given away. So
wow.
Becky, Michelle, and Boyd all have a copy waiting for them at the front desk. And
I love all 3 of you, and I speak blessings on this book as you read it. I think you're going to find God big enough for the task and a way of untangling what the enemy has tangled in a way like you've never read before in your life. There's an anointing on this book. I think it's going to change your life. All right. Let's get back to secular radio and let's talk about why we need the darn census to tell us who's legal and who isn't. It's about districting. We'll do that next.
That is the latest news brought to you by the Tennessee Division of Forestry. Traffic and weather next.
I knew this was going to happen.
What happened?
I'll be honest with you, and I'm going to say a name that you remember.
Okay.
John Erling.
Yes.
Sometimes, and I was his program director, and John was one of the best talk show hosts I ever worked with in my life.
He was number one by a long shot.
Oh, a long shot. He was just very, very, he reminded me a lot of David Letterman, and even before David Letterman was David Letterman. Just very, very good. And but he would do that sometimes. He would always come to the table and discover something like a decade after everyone else. Did you guys know we have mobile phones? You know, and you'd be like, oh. So I knew this was going to happen. On the topic of Jack White, I knew when you did it, I should have just shut up. So Tom writes, well, Michael, at your age, maybe Jack Webb, Dragnet, is more familiar. Thanks, Tom. No, I'm in awe of the fact that I have an amazing, wide taste of music, and this guy's just never crossed my palate. I'm sure he's great. I don't know. It is a style of music. Like Dave Matthews Band is a great example. I don't like it. Never have.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what it is I don't like. Maybe it's like a bluesy rock. What am I describing?
Dave Matthews or Jack White?
Jack White. I mean, what would that style be?
It's bluesy.
Bluesy rock. Maybe what I don't really particularly care about. Now, I love the blues. I love Billie Holiday. I mean, I love, you know, a lot of the bluesy jazz flavor from New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing that kind of a bluesy rock. I'm trying to think of who would be other signature bands that people love. And I just never got into them. So I knew that was going to happen. Now I got listeners thinking, first of all, I'm only 53. For God's sakes, that's not that old.
Well, you have young daughters who are...
Yes. And may I say, I'm living the life more of a 35-year-old than a 53-year-old.
And right now, they're not into the Jack White scene right now.
No. But I mean, I know everybody. I can do all the yo's, man. Yo! I can turn any great harmony into a rap at any minute. I mean, I'm on the pop scene. I'm on a lot of scenes. I
tell you what, Jack White kind of raps in some of his songs.
Who was the guy?
He's a talented dude.
Who was the guy from Tulsa that I offended? I called him Moses. He hated me because of it. I'm up on a
tie. Leon Russell?
I didn't like him. And it would have been probably...
You're crazy.
It would have been best had I not told him that. But, I mean, he wouldn't come out of the trailer... He made our concert late. I'm like, come on, Moses, what do I got to do? Part of C to get you out? And he came out looking just like Moses with his giant white beard, and he did not like me. And then I had to do the long golf cart ride with him, knowing he hated me. You freaking punk. I'm Leon Russell. I don't give a crap who you are. I want to go home tonight.
How long was the ride?
Oh, it was a good, like, 400 or 500 yards. As quiet as a... As a mom, then I'd introduce, ladies and gentlemen, the legend, Leon Russell!
Oh.
I wanted to say, ladies and gentlemen, the late Moses. All right, so no more jokes. I'm only 53. I'll get caught up on this Jack White guy. Are you kidding me? I'll be like an aficionado by the end of this show.
Oh, yeah, you will.
I really don't like his music, but I'll check out his record store.
Oh, you'll love his
music. Can I get a bong at the record store? That's all I care about. Can I get some rolling papers? You know.
Probably.
I did not notice those items whenever I was there.
Who goes to record stores anymore? Seriously.
People should. You should go see this one.
Really?
It's really cool.
Okay. I will.
It's got little recording booths.
I just keep burying myself deeper and deeper, don't I? I should just shut up and say, we're talking for him. Why is Kim Jong-un in China?
Yeah, why? Exactly.
We will talk about that with James Carafano next. WTN News Time 940. News brought to you by...
Indeed.com.
Indeed. Behind every headline is a story. Behind every story, there's so much to talk about. That's why we are Super Talk 99.7 WTN. I'm Michael Del Giorno, and I only talk to really smart people like James Carafano at the Heritage Foundation. So we got the diplomats expelled. We got Kim Jong-un maybe in China. And the FBI is on a real roll. The latest is the Orlando nightclub shooter's father, who turns out to be an FBI informant, brushing off his son's terror comments. That's a handful of things. Well, so much for us worrying about having nothing to talk about. We're back, James.
How you doing, my friend?
Let's start with the president. Very ungrateful. I mean, here, Putin and Russia, obviously responsible for getting him elected. And this is his way of saying thank you, ordering 60 Russian diplomats out of the country.
So here's what people miss about that story, including my good friend, Michael, which is... You know, who knows how many, right? I mean, one guy complained, well, geez, they could have kicked out more. That's not the point. The point is the over two dozen countries, well, the over almost two dozen countries, and now actually Australia, who in concert with the U.S., in part, you know, due to U.S. leadership and cooperation, did the same thing at the same time. That's the message that the Russians got. Not that we kicked out 60 dudes, but that dozens of countries lined up under U.S. leadership.
21, I believe, is the exact number. And the total...
I think we're at 22 now.
Oh, 20,
I think the Australians jumped in this morning.
So 22 nations and kicking out a total of 135 Russians, including 23 expelled earlier by the U.K. You might want to reiterate to everybody, for very good reason, we might add.
Right. Look, I mean, we all know everybody spies on each other. We get that. And we all know that we do covert operations, you know, dirty stuff. We get that, too. But what the Russians did was doubly confrontational in a sense because, you think, well, why would they use something that everybody knows could be traced back to them? And the reason is, because they wanted it to be traced back to them. So they obviously overtly deny that they did that, but yet they left really telltale signals that, yeah, we really did that, because they want people to fear them. I mean, this is a direct challenge and a threat and an in-your-face.
And if you prick the scab with nerve gas here and nobody does anything, they're going to prick even harder somewhere else using something even more dangerous. But you got to stop that dead in its tracks.
Well, I mean, the other thing is okay, not only was it a very provocative kind of act, but it was incredibly reckless. I mean, other people could die. I mean, this is equivalent to a terrorist act. I mean, remember when the North Korean guy had his brother assassinated? I mean, the entire world, you know, turned against them in horror. And so if we just kind of sat back and said, oh, shame on you guys, I mean, that would have essentially, that's the get out of jail free card. I think it says a lot about Putin. I mean, if you think about it, we have been sticking it to the Russians for a year now that nobody really notices. And the Russians have been really constrained in a way to kind of effectively push back against the United States. And so you don't want to read into, because who knows what Putin's thinking and stuff. But
I was just going to say, he's threatening to retaliate. I can't imagine what he thinks he would accomplish.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, he made the speech about the nuclear weapons and they threatened to retaliate and everything. And you wonder if they're just frustrated, right? And they're just trying to find ways to kind of, but they really don't have, they don't have big strategic options, right? Like, they can't risk escalation in the Ukraine. They can't risk escalation in Georgia. They can't risk escalation in Syria. I mean, they tried that in Syria. They sent the mercenaries in, and a bunch of them got whacked, and they almost wound up directly fighting Americans. So, you know, how are they going to poke us? So they make speeches and they poison traitors, and, you know, but it just seems Putin's a bit scrambling. You know, particularly in light of, you know, he's come after the election, he wanted to look strong and popped and everything else, but.
All evidence to the contrary. All right, so reading The Hill, they have the headline, Russia, China, eclipse U.S. and hypersonic missiles, prompting fears. And, of course, Jim Inhofe always fanning the flames of those fears.
Right. Yeah.
We've always used the analogy of John F. Kennedy. He really thought there was a missile gap, and he was pleasantly surprised to confirm there was in our favor.
Right. But we built more missiles anyway.
But we built them anyway. Are we falling behind, though? I mean, how real are some of
these
concerns?
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody actually really knows that. First of all, I don't think anybody has an operative hypersonic weapon right now. You know, this is kind of one of those things where, you know what, this may be just like the missile gap, where hypersonics are going to be part of modern warfare. I don't think there's any question about that. It's real science. It's not science fiction. Not sure we're going to be deploying them anytime soon, but, you know, kind of smacking us around and getting our attention and making sure we're serious about it, maybe that's not a bad thing. Same thing with AI. The report came out that said that the Chinese are actually ahead of us in artificial intelligence. Don't know if that's true, but artificial intelligence is definitely going to be a part of future competition, not just in warfare. It's going to affect everything we do everywhere on the planet.
At the risk of being obvious that he's my favorite, you know, Kennedy, even back in early 60, knew that space was the frontier where war would ultimately be settled and good had to control it. We might also want to look at how we're doing there as well.
Well, and again, that's another area where, you know, we've kind of been poked, and the U.S. has looked at picking up its game. So, this is where I think that the Chinese in particular really overplayed their hand. I think, you know, if the Chinese had just kind of laid low for another decade and we just kind of went on with this debate about, oh, should we worry about the Chinese, you know, then they could have been in the driver's seat. But what they've kind of done is they've kind of woken the world up to the problem, prematurely. You know, much like Hitler, kind of, you know, if he just kind of kept with the whole, let's just take a little tiny country here and there, right? And he waited another decade or so before he, you know, started World War III, he would have been in an infinitely better position, right?
They can't resist the urge. That's the pride that comes before the fall. Real quickly, Kim Jong-un, now all of a sudden these rumors that he's actually in China and what that might signal if they were true.
Yeah, I'm not into speculation on this one. We don't even know if it's him. We have no idea what the agenda is. I think I had my guy, you know, I had the smartest guys in the world on this stuff, and we're just sitting in the room and we're just conjecturing. I don't think we have good intel on that. And I think the conjecturing, we could do it all day long, but it was just, we were just guessing.
But the conjecture would probably, what, center around?
Be all over the place.
Why would he be in China before he visits with Trump? And does this show that China's really calling the shots?
You could make up.
We've been doing that for what, 60? But we've been doing that for 60 years now, right?
Well, we'll keep doing it because I just don't know.
James Carafano, read his great work and all his colleagues' great work at heritage.org. I love you. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right, see you, brother.
All right, 9:55 at Super Talk 99.7 WTN.